for joining us for another episode of LID Radio Podcast. I'm your host for today, Francesca Stainer, and for this episode, we're talking to Sangeeta Waldron about her book, Corporate Social Responsibility is Not Public Relations, how to put CSR at the heart of your company and maximise the business benefits. Sangeeta Waldron is a multi-award-winning PR professional. She has been contributing editor for different news platforms, specialising in sustainability and corporate social responsibility, where some of her stories have been published by the United Nations. In 2009, Sangeeta founded her own London-based communications agency, Serendipity PR and Media, and guest lectures at Coventry University on journalism, ethics, global society, social media and PR. Sangeeta started out her career writing speeches for a previous UK Prime Minister and ministers. She has worked at the top level with global brands such as The Economist Group, The Times Education Supplement, Mayor of London. She is a regular international speaker, often moderating a panel discussion for Asian Voice newspaper that supports British Asian women in business. So about the book. The world is at tipping point. Climate change, plastic pollution, bushfires, disappearing forests, a global pandemic, and explosive conversations about diversity and inclusion. Now more than ever, it is important for all types of business to have an authentic corporate social responsibility initiatives that are not just a publicity spin. This book demonstrates that CSR is the future of business. The book Corporate Social Responsibility is Not Public Relations contains 15 global inspirational interviews with thought leaders and entrepreneurs, including David Katz, CEO of Plastic Bank, Louis Acton, mentored by Anita Roddick, founder of The Body Shop, Fred Hughes, who escaped the LA gang culture about the essence of sustainability, and more. These interviews within every chapter, along with the research, show there is international public support for business to do better and that CSR is driving investment. This is the time for all types of business to have CSR as the lifeblood for all their customers and employees. Amazing. So thank you so much for joining us, Sangeeta. Can you tell us a bit about what the inspiration behind the book was? So the book CSR is Not PR, and why it's so timely and significant today?
Yeah, I'd love to. There are lots of reasons why I wanted to write this book. Well, science for a long time has been telling us that climate temperatures are rising, certain animals are in decline, and that we need to be looking after the planet. And I also think businesses are now ready for a book like this, whether they are businesses that are big or small, new or established. I think people recognise that there is now a better way to do business and create successful brands. And also, I've been a long time in public relations, and I've seen so many brands and businesses not doing the right thing by the planet, not operating with integrity, exploiting communities and causes. And I wanted to show that that isn't real PR. And at the same time, within all that, I wanted to write a book that was not the usual business book. And I know that we learn from the power of stories. So I interviewed different entrepreneurs and business leaders from around the world who have shared their knowledge about corporate social responsibility, explaining how to do it and that it is possible to do. And I've taken their knowledge, their wisdom, and incorporated those as interviews within the book. And again, another part of inspiration for this book is that I wanted to show that we can learn from others, particularly from India. And I have a special chapter on India. And the thinking behind this is that the West is always thinking and believing it's teaching the East about corporate social responsibility. But in fact, we have a lot to learn from these regions. And the book is very timely. You know, it was written during the global pandemic, which is still going on. Mm. And it gave this book more meaning because the virus has shown us how connected we all are in the world. And it's also made us reflect more about what we're doing, what we could be doing better for the environment. And during these strange times, we've also had very explosive conversations about diversity and inclusion, which are also very much the heart of CSR. They don't stand alone. They're very much part of those initiatives. Mm. So I've included that within the book. And during this pandemic, we've actually seen certain businesses and brands step up and do better, actually, than some governments in the beginning with regards to PPE, supporting frontline workers. And I think within all that, it's quite a long answer to your question, but, you know, the inspiration has just come from so many aspects, which I hope will make the book endure. You know, it's not just a book for now, it's a book for tomorrow that people can keep picking up and reading.
Yeah, very much a book for the future and for the future world. It's been very interesting to see which brands have come out on top actually through all of this, and it's mainly through sort of the human touch that they've given and the care that they've shown either their employees or their customers. I remember when I can't remember which phone company it was, it might have been a few of them that decided to, you know, have all their over 60s or 70s have free calls so they could keep in touch with family.
That's it's right. Things yeah. like
that have really been surprising. And actually, maybe that is something that should be considered just for regular business and not just in this time. But I found it quite interesting to see how people have responded.
Yeah, and I think people want to see more empathy, you know, more connection, more engagement. And I think another thing that's come through from this pandemic is the whole aspect about community. So businesses that are local to communities, operating within communities, those communities want those businesses to step up and do better. So yes, everyone is looking to see, what organizations are doing.
Definitely. And I think it's important, and we talk about a little bit about an understanding of what corporate social responsibility is and why it's important, because obviously the title of the book is, you know, corporate social responsibility is not public relations. So yeah. Could you explain a bit about why these are often confused and what the significant difference is?
Sure. I mean, I go, as you say, into detail within the book. But essentially, corporate social responsibility, CSR, is how a business operates, how it makes a profit, and at what cost to the planet. And CSR are positive principles that are built into the DNA of a business and its brand. For example, it will shape how ethical a company's supply chain is. Are the suppliers exploiting communities or resources? Does the company have diversity and inclusion? Because just to reiterate, these are some of the aspects of CSR. They're not standalone. And PR, public relations, you know, it's funny, lots of people don't really understand what PR is. And it seems to be a little bit, it's under this kind of cloak. What does it actually do? What does it mean? Essentially, public relations is about raising the profile of a brand or an organization or a person, such as a celebrity, using the mediums of social media, TV, radio, and magazines. And PR uses the aspects of a brand's news and initiatives to promote it, and these are called news stories. And when these news stories are weak, that's when the PR falls down. So when your CSR is strong, you really don't need PR because it talks for itself.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about kind of like the sincerity behind brand CSR work and how sometimes it can fall down. But I think a really important part of the book is kind of, I guess, the core of the book is that CSR should be at the heart of every business in order for them and the world around them to succeed. So what would you say are the business benefits of CSR being at the core of a company's work?
Oh, there's so many. They are, across the board, from having great CSR initiatives means that you can also foster a more productive workforce. Employees are more engaged within the organization. You can win business because today investors are also looking to see what kind of companies they're investing in, how well are they performing with regards to the planet. So you can win investment, you win consumers. There's so many studies that have shown that those consumers who believe a company, brand or organization are really working with purpose for the planet, they just win their loyalty. So you have loyal customers, loyal consumers. It can help you foster the right kinds of partnerships, the right kind of relationships within your business world. There are so many there, from winning business to attracting talent to the well-being of the workforce. And also just, when you are having the, when you are looking at your diversity and inclusion and you've built that into your CSR and your business strategy, you attract talent. And it's, again, research shows that those businesses with more women at senior level are more creative as businesses, and they can steer any kind of recession and anything that, is happening within the marketplace. Those kinds of organizations survive.
That's really interesting. I mean, it seems like there's no bad side to this, really.
No, what could be bad about it? I mean, it's a win-win for everyone. For the businesses that are operating in those communities, it's a win for the business. They're doing, if you are looking after the resources of the planet, then you'll be able to produce your t-shirts and whatever it is you might be doing. You're not squandering everything. You're not cutting down, you're being responsible with the resources because they're not infinite.
This might be a bit of a difficult question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So why do you think it is that not every company in the world is on board or is actively, creating these CSR strategies and making sure, they're authentic? I guess what would the holdback be for people?
Oh, I think that there's so many. Again, I don't think it's just sort of one answer. I think some companies haven't woken up to the fact that they need to be doing better. Some organizations want a quick win. So it's easier just to, to ignore your supply chain because you just want things faster and cheaper. And faster and cheaper doesn't always mean in the long term it's going to be cost effective. And just don't care. That's the bottom line. They don't care. But I think now consumers are making businesses care because consumers want better. And certain businesses are realizing they can't keep going the way they are, because that's when their PR falls down. That's when they make the mistakes. And we've seen that recently. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about it, but, there's that, which has become almost like a great story to tell in these times. And that's boohoo.com, the last year during the first lockdown that we had here in the UK, their workers were still working without any social distancing, without being paid the right workers' rate, without having PPE. And, they were put under the spotlight and they had to crisis manage their brand.
Yeah, it's interesting that as soon as you said the words fast and cheap, I thought of Boohoo. That was the first thing I thought of. And that's probably not the best image they want. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what you'll be remembered for. But if you really build CSR into your business strategy, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about, what could go wrong if you're acting already with integrity and you're authentic about the brand.
I mean, we've touched on it briefly, but I guess consumers, clients, and even the workforce now are are increasingly interested in a company's CSR, and obviously for good reasons. So what have you seen consumers in the workforce expecting from their brands in sort of the recent years? Do you have any sort of examples we can look at?
Yeah, they want better, first of all. And I think we've seen a lot. I mean, a really good one is plastic.
Yeah.
Reduction of plastic. That's become a big campaign, not just here in the UK, but it's become a global campaign where people are far more aware of the amount of plastic. And that came out of David Attenborough's Blue Planet, which got the conversation going. And now supermarkets like Iceland here have pledged to be plastic free within the next 5 years. And they're not the only supermarket getting on board to reduce their packaging. And then I think another one, when we're talking about diversity and inclusion, Vogue as a media brand recognized it needs to do something about its editorial, about how it was, whether it was actually representing modern Britain. And in 2014, Vogue UK had a change of guard and a new editor came on board, Edward Unifil. And since then, he's made some really big changes, not just at editorial level with the people who are writing for the magazine, but also with the front covers, which have a big impact. And again, last year, when we came out of the first lockdown in summer, the first Vogue that was produced out of lockdown had, for the very first time, had ordinary people on the front cover, and they were frontline workers, and they were people of colour, you know, and he was shaking things up, and Vogue is shaking things up. And, you know, I teach at Coventry University, and when you just speak to that generation, they see the change. And some of these students, I was just having a conversation with them, they feel engaged to buy the magazine. So it's automatically he's made it relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting you mentioned that. So as someone who used to work in fashion PR maybe three, four years ago now, I hadn't bought Vogue or any glossy magazine since then. And that was the first issue I bought again. It's like my new relationship with Vogue, because it felt so real. And it almost felt like I was supporting the people they were showing in it, which obviously I wasn't, but I don't know, I felt a lot more of a connection to it. And it was just interesting that obviously that was the first issue I decided to buy again. And similarly with Cosmopolitan, I haven't bought that in years as well, but in January they had an issue with an influencer called Sophie Butler, who was the first disabled woman to be on the front cover of Cosmopolitan. And again, I bought that because I thought that's so cool. And I follow her and I'm like one of her biggest fans. Shout out to Sophie if you're out there. But I just thought it's really interesting that those are the ones I chose to buy after all these years. And it is because they've got this CSR behind it, I guess.
Yeah. And you know what's, you know, print has been in decline. We've seen magazines go. We've seen Marie Claire go.
Yeah.
You know, and Rolling Stone has disappeared. So magazines need to be relevant, and they need to speak to the next generation of readers, because people are, you know, their habits have changed. We're leading our lives through our phones. So, you know, magazines might not be the most obvious medium anymore. It's podcast, it's video. So how do you do that? You need to be able to engage with people and show people that you are relatable. You know, that's the bottom line. And within that, it is about body positive. It's about diversity. It's about being inclusive. It's also about sustainable fashion. Mm. You know, there are so many aspects of that, if we're looking at fashion magazines per se. And that, you know, that there are other brands doing great things. You know, chocolate brands now are also looking at their palm oil, their cocoa, whether it's going back to farmers. So apart from the fair trade chocolate, lots of other bigger brands are looking at how they produce their chocolates.
I mean, as we've said, there's no bad side to this. So
no, there isn't. It will just work out better for us as humanity and for the planet. You know, this pandemic has shown us that we can't survive without, you know, being, you know, we are connected. We can't act alone. We have to do this together.
Exactly. I mean, we've talked about it before, but the sincerity of a brand's CSR work or their missions have occasionally been under scrutiny. I mean, we've mentioned Boohoo, when it appears that what they're doing is in this sort of performative way. I mean, there are phrases such as greenwashing that have been invented. So what happens when CSR goes wrong? And how can a brand make sure that it's genuine, it comes across as it?
Yeah, so when it goes wrong, then it's crisis mode. Yeah. You're trying to protect the brand. You're trying to... When a brand is affected, shares go down, investors suddenly get jittery, so share prices fall. So it has lots of consequences, and PR is within that. So when you pay lip service to something, you can't get away with it anymore because of social media. The spotlight is automatically on you at all times, so you have to show up and do better all the time. That's why your CSR has to be built in to your brand strategy. If it's just built into your PR and just done for lip service, then you'll be firefighting all the time, because you can't, there isn't anything, you're not looking at your suppliers, you're not looking at your supply chain, you're not looking at your workforce, or everything has to be joined up, and it has to be at the core. And so then when we see brands just paying lip service to it, or really not actually understanding what they're meant to be doing, that's when we see things go wrong. And a very quick and new example of this is over the weekend. I'm not sure if you saw that story about Louis Vuitton and the sweater they've produced for Jamaica.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And they've got the colours wrong of the Jamaican flag. So this was meant to be a sweater representing the island, the country. And if you look at the sweater, it's all the wrong colours of the flag. Well, not all, just one. And you just wonder, it beggars belief. How did that happen? Who signed it off? But also, if they had the right people in the room, you know, if they were inclusive, if there were people there who were representing Jamaica and what they were meant to be doing, and it was an inclusive and diverse sign-off, then they wouldn't have made that mistake. So something has gone wrong there. And that's when brands are not thinking, they just are not thinking at all. There are so many, fashion brands. There was Marie Claire when they were in existence. They were doing something with T-shirts, feminism T-shirts. I don't know if you remember this story. And they brought out, they were backing these Fawcett Society pro-feminist T-shirts. And then they found out that the T-shirts were not ethically made. So the workers who were being, you know, picking the cotton were actually not being paid at all. That whole T-shirt became a little bit of a PR disaster.
Yeah.
It's just about making sure everything is joined up.
So actually, if it is sincere, it will come across as so.
Automatically. Yeah. It's effortless. You don't even have to think about it, because everyone knows what their purpose is, what they're doing. It's part of the business model. You have the right partners, because you wouldn't be partnering with people who don't have the same ethos.
I mean, the book goes into so much detail about sort of how you can start to build these strategies together and look at what you're doing. But is there sort of a good starting point for anyone that does want to sort of relook at CSR or even just initiate it in where they work?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, the book goes into a lot of detail, but I think it's to start, I think maybe for whether you're a small company or you're about to, you're a big brand, it's really to reflect on what did you set up the business to do, to really look at your story, to really look at your brand story and think, you know, where have you come from and where you want to be. And that's the starting point. I think you need to have a little bit of a reflection before you just dive in.
Yeah.
And, you know, decide I'm just going to create everything from go. And also then you need to get the buy-in. You can't just do this on your own. Mm. You need to make sure your teams are all joined up and everyone's on board. And that all takes time. And good things take time to do. But as soon as you've kind of joined all those dots, then everything else happens very quickly.
Yes. Amazing. Well, I mean, lastly, for anyone that's interested in knowing more from you and your work, where can they find you? Otherwise, I feel like we could talk for hours on this. So
people can find me on Twitter with my name, Sangeeta Waldron. Find me on LinkedIn. I'm an open networker and I'm looking forward to people getting in touch.
Amazing. Yeah, so thank you so much for joining us today and obviously everyone else for listening.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a nice conversation. Mine.
Thank you so much to Sangeeta and thank you everyone for listening as well. Do remember to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram and at Lid Business Media on LinkedIn. We'll be sharing more podcasts by experts such as Sangeeta Waldron and other book publications and articles and news as well. So thanks for listening and we'll see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.